Now let's meet the next maker in our series, Made in Arizona. You've probably seen her work in local boutiques or at an especially eye-catching booth at your neighborhood farmer's market. Her vibrant watercolor designs have jumped from the canvas to a variety of mediums, greeting cards, jewelry, the walls of buildings. Paige Poppy pops. I met her at her studio in Scottsdale, conveniently located in her parents' garage. It's full of boxes for shipping, easels for painting, and it's punctuated by the hot pinks, lime greens, and sunny yellows that define much of her commercial work. I started by asking her how she came to see the dusty desert like this through the lens of a Lisa Frank fan who finds much bright colors all around her.
So I went away to college in California, and I left behind Arizona with like not a care. I was so happy to be somewhere else. And, you know, you start coming back each time. And I think there's like a nostalgia of home. But my big turning point, I came back for spring break. And of course, everything is blooming. You know, it's gorgeous. Everything is all different shades of the rainbow, which is kind of my inspiration, is these really colorful works of art. And all of a sudden it hit me. I was like, oh, why was I blind to this? I really felt like I had just like put on glasses for the first time. It was wild. I actually sat out by my parents' pool at the time, and I was so inspired. I painted a bunch of pieces from my Technicolor Botanical collection right there, and those pieces have all Technicolor rainbow hues, and I think that was certainly inspired by how lush everything was at the time.
And I want to talk about those colors in a moment, but I want to hear a little bit more about your story first. So you left for college like so many of us do, and you studied architecture, right? So how did you end up deciding, like, this is going to be my career, I will be a painter, I will be an artist?
Yeah, it was a big shift. I think the first thing that happened was, you know, architecture school is very demanding. It's stressful. You're up all hours of the day. And I felt like I needed some kind of creative release. Even though architecture school is very creative, you're creating a lot of drawings and digital work, I needed something very loose. So I first started painting skateboards. That was my first business. And I think some people have like seen the journey from that point, because I was blogging previously and then I started painting these skateboards.
Like on skateboards?
On skateboards, custom skateboards for people. And they were very graphic, like line work, like very heavy, almost like tattoo style. So very different than what I do now. So that was kind of my first like foray. And I was like, you know, I kind of realized I liked the process of the business side of it too, because I could communicate with the client and find out what they wanted. But I actually took 2 watercolor classes while I was in college. And that was the big turning point, because I had painted with watercolor when I was about 12. And I felt like I was naturally decent at it. And then when I took these classes and honed in on my skills, I really started to fall in love with the medium. And I had 2 teachers, and one was very like classic details of architecture, and one was like more loose and organic. And I kind of felt like I married in between the 2 styles. And after that, I was really set. And that's kind of where my art took a turning point from there, and is more of the style that I've been pursuing ever since.
Yeah, because you look at your work and you don't see like architecture in it in that way. So it sounds like you sort of rejected that almost.
You know, I still have a huge appreciation for it. I really enjoyed my time in school, and it taught me so much that I still use today with my design background. But I think maybe not so much I didn't enjoy the process of architectural design. I think that the process of artwork was just speaking to me a little bit more. Like, I could have gone in that direction, but there was just something that pulled me a little bit harder.
Okay, so let's talk about these colors, because this is definitely like the signature thing that you take away when you look at your work. It's eye-catching. You use these sort of super bright tones, colors that maybe not everybody associates with the desert. How did you come to that style?
I definitely always say that I'm a child of the 90s. I think we all appreciated Lisa Frank and her rainbow colors. I was always obsessed with rainbows, like just a thing that I always said rainbow was my favorite color. So it's something I've always been drawn to. I can't pick just one. And the way my brain works, the placement of all rainbow colors together, like in order, is very satisfying to me.
The Roy G. Biv.
Yes, the Roy G. Biv. It's really like that just clicks in my head. I really enjoy that. So you'll see later on in my work, I started making a lot of like color wheels and color organized color wheels. That's like very intentional, because it just is very satisfying to my brain. So I think it was something I was kind of born with. Lisa Frank encouraged it, and then I just kept going with it.
So it's almost, it's whimsical though. Like, there's a little bit of that 90s kid still in what you're doing today.
Yes, and I think that's why it makes sense that a lot of my audience ends up being around my age, and I feel like they are like those children of the 80s and 90s that can appreciate it. You know, it's like 25 to 35, we all kind of like are drawn to those neon colors and we can appreciate it.
Oh, I had the Lisa Frank Trapper Keeper. So I want to talk about the business side of this too, which you've mentioned a few times, which I think is really interesting because usually if you think about an artist, it's, you know, somebody who really suffers for their work or like is rejecting the commercial side of it, but you really embrace that. It sounds like you make your work in all sorts of ways. You sell it in all kinds of ways. It can be on stickers, on cards, whatever it may be. What do you like about that, and what are the challenges of that?
I think what I like is that it is accessible. First of all, I do, of course, do original commissioned paintings for people, and those can be a higher price tag. But I think, especially because I started my business when I was around 22 years old, and I had a budget that many other 22-year-olds had, the $50 price point and under appealed to me because I knew that it was accessible and I could share it with my friends, and people could buy my art for gifts. And that was kind of something I fell into when I was just making art prints and greeting cards. Those were my only two products that I started with, but I started to see that it was very accessible, so I enjoyed that. And I realized I could grow the business well with those price points because I was able to do wholesale and have my art shared with a lot of retailers around the valley, from hotels to small boutiques, and it just started to work. Most people, you know, have the budget to have a $5 card here and there, and then, you know, my name was attached to that and it could be shared with the friend, and then my name was spread. So that just really started clicking. As far as the challenges go, definitely I didn't go to business school, like don't have an MBA. There's always challenges to doing your own negotiations and navigating that.
So what about the pressures that also come with owning a business today, a small business today? That's the social media stuff, the branding of yourself. Like you talked about getting your name on things and making sure that people can recognize your work that way. How much does it affect the work, and how much do you kind of feel that pressure?
Sure. I think there is some amount of pressure. I feel like for me, it's lightened a little bit because the marketing is probably what I enjoyed most about the business. I love making graphics and photography, and that's such a big part of my brand is all the visuals. It is a challenge though, and there's a pressure. We are chatting right now and it's the new year, and it's just been a lot of hype from the fall and holiday. That's the busiest time for many makers, especially locally. And you want to ride that wave. And it's funny, like January hits and you're like, oh my gosh, like the holidays are over. What's the next project going to be? And like, what's your next paycheck going to come from? So there is some of that pressure there to stay relevant and build that excitement after the holiday gifting season is over. So I do feel it sometimes, but I've always noticed that I think when things feel the most natural and flowing and the inspiration is just there, you see the success. So I try to ease off the pressure a little bit and just like enjoy it. And then that usually shows through.
Do you worry that it affects the way that you paint and like the work itself?
I do have that fear because, you know, if I sit down to paint, I could think of like three ideas usually that I know will sell and be a good print, because I have over 100 prints in my shop and, you know, I see every order come in. I know what's most popular, so I know right away what I could do to paint, but you also want to chase that inspiration. So maybe that day I want to paint like a deer, and I might know better that like a landscape of the superstitions might sell better. Of course, I can be savvy and I can paint those scenes on the days when I'm feeling inspired to paint them, but I also know it's important to do what feels right, and then that's when the work really sings, I think.
Paige Poppe, thank you so much.
Thank you.